Let's read together Psalm 48. In this psalm, we see that Jerusalem is the special city that God has chosen to be his city on this earth. Psalm 48, beginning with verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. For behold, the kings assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple, according to your name, O God. So is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 48, with some background notes. We see from the title of this psalm that it is a song. Not the song that many of us know and sing today, but it was a song with the same words sung in ancient Israel in praise to the Lord for his choosing and delivering Jerusalem. We see that it is another psalm of the sons of Korah, meaning that it was written by one of the descendants of Korah, or put to music by the descendants of Korah, or by the choir guild that bore their name. The occasion of this psalm is a celebration of God's great victory over the enemy that had attacked Jerusalem. Most likely, this was when the Assyrians, under King Sennacherib, attacked and besieged Jerusalem in 701 BC. At that time, following the direction of Isaiah the prophet, Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem turned to the Lord for deliverance, and God answered their prayers with one of the great miracles of the Bible. In one night, God wiped out the whole Assyrian army that was besieging Jerusalem. Now, we will read the biblical account of this great miracle under our second doctrinal point from 2 Kings chapter 19. We've already read the account of this miracle from 2 Chronicles chapter 32 as part of our talk on Psalm 46. Right now, let's read the account from the third place where it's recorded in the Bible, namely in Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 36, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. Verse 13. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and said, Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. And from Isaiah chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, Thus says Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, Thus you shall say to your master, Thus says the Lord, Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Let's move now down to verse 36 of Isaiah chapter 37. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. From Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. Let's move now to our first doctrinal point, which comes from the first three verses of Psalm 48. So doctrinal point number one, Jerusalem was chosen by God as his eternal city. Jerusalem was chosen by God as his eternal city. Verses 1 through 3, once again. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. Rome is sometimes referred to as the eternal city, but not according to the Bible. Jerusalem is the eternal city according to the Bible. We see in verse 1 that Jerusalem is the city of our God. And in verse 2, Jerusalem is called the city of the great king. And in verse 8, we read that this city of the Lord of hosts will be established forever by the Lord himself. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 12, the Lord told Israel that when they crossed over the Jordan River and entered the promised land, he would choose a place where he would establish his name and have his temple. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. And verse 11. Then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And verse 14. But in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. From Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, verse 11, and verse 14. Well, that place was the city of Jerusalem that David captured from the Jebusites, and there God's temple was built. In verse 1 of Psalm 48, Jerusalem is called God's holy mountain. That is, it is set apart as God's special city, where he has chosen to establish his name forever. Now, some of your translations have another mountain called Zaphon in verse 2. This Hebrew word either refers to a beautiful mountain north of Israel or just the direction north. That's why you have some different translations here. In any case, the point that is being made here is that Jerusalem is beautiful in her elevation. You always go up to Jerusalem in Israel. And the joy of the whole earth, because this is the city of God. He is the great king and over all foreign gods, and he dwells in Jerusalem and defends Jerusalem. We know from the rest of Scripture that even though Jerusalem will face tough times in the future, it will be preserved and become the capital of our Lord's earthly kingdom when he returns. And there will be the new Jerusalem that continues on into the eternal state. Jerusalem was chosen by God as his eternal city. Doctrinal point number two. Jerusalem was defended by God as his special city. Jerusalem was defended by God as his special city. Let's read verses 4 through 8 once again. For behold, the kings assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We see in these verses that the opposition surrounding Jerusalem was suddenly removed. They saw something and fled in panic. Verses 5 and 6. Maybe God allowed them to see the heavenly host protecting his city. The enemy forces were broken like ships in a hurricane. Verse 7. Now we mention in our background notes that the occasion of this great victory may have been the miraculous defeat of Sennacherib and the Assyrian army in 701 BC. This great miracle is recorded three times in the Bible: 2 Kings 19, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and Isaiah chapter 37. I'm reading the account in 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 32. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. From 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 32 through 35. Now in verses 9 through 14 of Psalm 48, the people of Jerusalem give thanks and praise to the Lord for his great deliverance. Let's read these verses once again. Psalm 48, beginning now with verse 9. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death, or even to the end. In verses 9 through 11, the psalmist rejoices not only in the Lord's loving kindness shown to those who are his people, but also in his righteous judgments of those who are not his people. And then in verses 12 and 13, the people of Jerusalem are invited to walk about Zion, another name for the whole area of Jerusalem. If they would count the towers and inspect the ramparts and check out the palaces, they would find that Jerusalem was completely and totally unharmed and unscathed because the Lord protected her. Jerusalem was defended by God as his special city. Practical application from Psalm 48. Tell your children about God's guidance. Tell your children about God's guidance. The end of verse 13 and verse 14. That you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death, or even to the end. Notice, the people of Jerusalem were to pass on the good news of God's protection and deliverance to the next generation. And they were to emphasize that this was all part of God's plan for their lives, and that God would continue to guide them to the end. We should do the same. Emphasize to your children that things don't just happen by chance. We don't just luck out of distressing situations. Share with your children how God has answered your prayers and delivered you in the past and guided you through thick and thin and will continue to guide you and them throughout this life. Tell your children about God's guidance.